Okay, let's unpack this. We spend a massive amount of time on this show looking at the machinery of the world, the big systems, the huge bureaucracies, the federal budget. And it's so easy to get lost in the sheer scale of it all,
It
right?
really is. I mean, it feels like this giant, unstoppable ocean liner.
Exactly. And the federal government is what, the single largest employer and the largest buyer of everything on the
It's
planet?
a monolith, a
Yeah.
complete monolith.
But today, I want to zoom in, way in. I want to look at the interface, that exact point where a private business actually tries to, plug into that machine. Because that connection point, that's where the friction happens. That's where things get messy.
And frankly, that's where the drama is.
Yes. And to navigate that friction, you need a guide, you need a translator.
You absolutely do.
Right. So for today's deep dive, we're doing something a little bit different. We aren't analyzing a white paper or a news report.
None of the usual stuff.
We are analyzing a digital storefront. We're looking at the homepage of a legal practice called Duvi Law as it exists right now in 2026.
Which is a fascinating artifact. It's a snapshot of professional identity.
And I know what you're thinking. A law firm website.
Right.
Really? But stick with us.
Yeah, this is interesting.
Because this isn't about web design, it's about positioning. It's about how a small entity shouts loud enough to be heard in a room full of giants.
Great.
So the mission for this deep dive is to decode this page, every word, every menu tab, every little disclaimer, to understand what it means to be a boutique government contracts law firm in today's landscape.
And I love this approach because in the legal world, especially, high stakes federal law, every single pixel on a homepage is calculated. It is real estate.
Nothing lands there by accident.
Nothing. It's a strategic argument for why you should trust them with your entire livelihood.
Okay, so let's jump right into the header, the marquee, the very first thing that hits your eyeballs. It says, Duvi Law Government Contracts and Bid Protests.
Wow,
Like,
that is aggressive.
right. I mean, government contracts, sure, that's the industry, that's the what.
That's the table stakes.
But bid protests, that is remarkably specific to put right up there in the headline. It's not buried in a drop-down menu under services. It's right there. Why?
Well, to understand the weight of that, you have to understand the life cycle of government spending.
Okay.
You have the solicitation, the proposal, the evaluation, and then the award.
Right.
A bid protest is what happens when that whole process breaks. It's a specific legal mechanism where a company that lost a contract basically says, "Hey, wait a minute. The government messed up.
They didn't follow their own rules.
This award is wrong." So it's a challenge, it's a fight.
It is litigation.
It is absolutely litigation. It's adversarial by nature, it's high conflict, and crucially, it's very high speed.
High speed.
The deadlines for filing a bid protest are incredibly tight. I mean, sometimes as short as 5 or 10 days after you get your debriefing.
Wow, so you have 5 days to decide if you're going to sue the government?
Essentially, yes. So by putting bid protests right in that H1 header, Duvi Law is signaling something very, very specific. They're saying, "We aren't just here to help you fill out compliance forms. We're here to fight for you when the chips are down."
It totally changes the vibe, doesn't it? If it just said government contracts and regulatory advice, I'd picture like a library.
Quiet, dusty.
Yeah. But bid protests makes me picture a war room.
That is the perfect distinction. It signals a litigation mindset. It tells the visitor, who is probably some frustrated executive who just lost a massive contract, that this firm isn't afraid of the sharp elbows.
It's the difference between a doctor putting family medicine on their sign versus trauma surgery.
Precisely. If I have a cold, I go to family medicine.
But if I'm bleeding out because I just lost a $50 million contract.
You want the trauma surgeon, and you want them to identify themselves immediately. You don't want to have to hunt for them.
Okay, let's move down just an inch to the tagline. Trusted counsel to government contractors. I want to pause on that word, counsel. They didn't say attorney. They didn't say litigator. They said counsel. Am I reading too much into that?
No, you're spot on. Words matter, especially to lawyers. Attorney is a job title. It's transactional.
I pay you, you file a brief.
Exactly. It's functional. But counsel implies a relationship.
It just sounds wiser.
It is wiser. It implies guidance. It harkens back to the role of a general counsel inside a company, It suggests this firm isn't just going to tell you if something is legal.
They're going to tell you if it's smart.
That's it.
If
That
it,
is a huge
yeah.
difference. Just because you can sue the army over a contract doesn't mean you should.
Right. There's the long-term relationship to think about.
The political fallout, the cost, everything. A council helps you weigh those business risks against the legal opportunities. And it pairs so well with the trusted part of the tagline.
It's an emotional appeal.
It is. We aren't just mercenaries. We're your partners.
I like that. It shifts the dynamic from, like, hired gun to consigliere.
Mm-hmm.
But here's where it gets really interesting for me. This is the phrase that I think defines this entire deep dive. It's right there, centered on the page. Boutique government contracts law firm.
Ah, the B word.
Boutique. Now, when I hear boutique, I'm thinking of a hotel with really nice soap or a shop with expensive suits.
Right.
But in the legal world of 2026, what is boutique signaling to you?
Okay, so this is the absolute core of their identity. In the legal industry, you basically have two polar opposites.
Okay.
On one side, you have big law, the Am Law 100. These are massive multinational firms with thousands of lawyers, glass skyscrapers, and they do everything.
The department stores of law.
The factories, exactly. Mergers, divorce, tax, you name it. And then on the other side, you have the boutique.
Small.
Small, agile.
Pyeongchang.
And hyper-specialized.
So by using that one word boutique, Duvee Law is telling us what they don't do.
That's exactly right. They are saying, we don't do estate planning. We don't do slip and fall cases. We don't do your corporate merger. We do one thing, government contracts.
And so why is that better for the client? Why wouldn't I want the, you know, the safety of the big brand name?
Two big reasons, access and conflicts. Let's talk about access first.
Okay.
In a big law firm, the person who sells you the service is usually a senior partner. Super impressive, gray hair, very charming.
Sure.
But once you sign that retainer, who's actually writing your brief at 2 a.m?
The 25-year-old who just graduated law school?
Often, yes. A junior associate. In a boutique, the implication is that the person whose name is on the door is the person doing the work.
So you're buying the expert, not the trainee.
You're buying the expert.
Yeah.
And what about conflicts?
What do you mean?
This is huge in government contracting. Let's say you want to file a bid protest against a giant defense contractor like a Lockheed or a Boeing because they beat you for a contract.
Right.
If you go to a massive big law firm, there's a very high chance that firm already represents that giant contractor in some other department. Maybe they do their tax work or their labor law.
So they can't take your case.
They're conflicted out. They cannot sue their own client. A boutique firm like Duvee Law, they likely don't represent the giants.
They're independent.
They are free to attack the big guys because they aren't on their payroll.
That is fascinating. So boutique isn't just a style choice. It's a tactical advantage.
It's a huge tactical advantage. It means they're a weapon that can actually be fired.
It signals independence.
We answer to you, not to a board of partners who are worried about upsetting a Fortune 500 client.
Wow. It really reframes the whole idea of small. Yeah. In this context, small means lethal.
Small means sharp, unencumbered.
So let's look at how that structure plays out in the actual navigation menu. You see the usual stuff, home, about. But then look at this tab, founder.
Yes.
Singular, founder. Not team, not our professionals, not even partners, just founder.
It's a very bold move.
What does it scream to you?
It just doubles down on the entire boutique narrative. It tells us this is a personality-driven practice. It is built around the reputation and the brain of one specific individual.
It feels almost artisanal, like the chef tab on a restaurant website.
That is the perfect analogy. When you go to a high-end restaurant, you want to know whose vision is on the plate. Here, you want to know whose strategy is in the brief.
It creates a sense of direct accountability. The buck stops here.
It really does. It's risky, of course.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't it risky? What if that founder gets sick or takes a vacation?
Mm.
Does the whole firm just stop?
That is the trade-off. But for the type of client who needs a bid protest, someone in a high-stakes crisis moment, they are usually willing to take that risk to get the specific chef they want.
They don't want a system. They want a savior.
Exactly.
Okay, moving down the menu, we also see blog. Now, come on. In 2026, everybody has a blog. Is this just filler?
For a specialist firm, a blog is never just a blog. It's a portfolio of expertise. It is proof of brain.
Proof of brain. I like that.
Well, think about it. Government contracting is incredibly dense. It's full of acronyms, changing regulations. If I'm a potential client and I click on that blog and I see a post from last week analyzing a new SBA rule or a recent court decision, that tells me something instantly.
It tells you they have a pulse. They're paying attention.
It tells me they're obsessed. It tells me they're watching the landscape so I don't have to. It acts as a kind of trust bridge.
How so?
You read their analysis, you realize, okay, this person speaks my language, and then you feel comfortable picking up the phone and calling them.
So it's basically a try before you buy mechanism.
Exactly right. It de-risks the hiring decision. If their blog is smart, I assume their legal briefs are going to be smart.
And speaking of smart design, I noticed a little user experience note in the source text. It says, use tab to navigate through the menu items.
Ah, yes. The accessibility cue.
It's a tiny detail, but what does that signal?
It signals competence and attention to detail. In the government world, accessibility, you know, Section 508 compliance is a massive requirement.
Right. If you want to work with the feds, your digital house has to be in order.
So by making sure their own site is accessible, Duvila is showing they practice what they preach.
It's subtle, but it shows they aren't sloppy.
Mm.
And if you're hiring a lawyer, sloppy is the last thing you want.
Correct. If the website is broken, I'm going to assume your filing habits are broken.
Okay, let's scroll all the way down. The footer. This is where the fine print lives. But there's actually a lot of story hiding in these little disclaimers.
There really is.
First off, the date.
Mm.
2026 by Duvila LLC.
Anchoring us right here in the present. This is active.
And LLC. Limited liability company.
Standard operating procedure for a boutique. It protects the personal assets of the founder we just talked about.
So if the firm gets sued, the founder doesn't necessarily lose their house.
Exactly. It's the modern standard for agile professional firms.
But here is the part that always makes me chuckle. The phrase, attorney advertising.
Right. It raises an important question. Why do they even have to say that?
Yeah. I mean, we're on a law firm's website. It has a contact button. We know they want our business.
Yeah.
Why do they have to explicitly label it attorney advertising?
It's a regulatory requirement. The legal profession is self-regulated by state bars, and they are absolutely paranoid about misleading the public.
Okay.
They don't want a website to look like a neutral, educational public service announcement if its ultimate goal is to get you to write them a check.
So it's a truth in labeling law, basically.
That's a good way to put it. Even though they position themselves as trusted counsel, that whole relationship role, they have to legally admit, hey, this is a commercial.
It's a consumer protection thing.
It is. And then right next to it, you see the word disclaimer.
And that's the no attorney client privilege warning. Right?
Exactly. It basically translates to, reading this blog post doesn't make me your lawyer yet.
Don't send me your confidential blueprints just because you clicked the link.
Precisely. And also, don't rely on this website as legal advice for your specific problem, because every legal problem is fact specific.
Ah, so if you read the blog, misapply it, and lose your contract, you can't sue them for bad advice.
Because they weren't your lawyer when you read it.
It's kind of ironic, isn't it? The firm that specializes in navigating government rules has to cover its own website in a layer of rules just to protect itself.
It's the nature of the beast. But actually, seeing those disclaimers gives me confidence.
How so?
Because it shows they're careful. If I saw a law firm website without those disclaimers, I would worry that they're reckless.
That's a great point.
The presence of the fine print tells me they know where the lines are drawn. And in government contracting, knowing where the lines are is the whole game.
So the footer is essentially a little sample of their own compliance work.
It is, yeah.
So let's zoom out. We've unpacked the header, the bid protest focus, the counsel versus attorney nuance, the boutique strategy, the founder model, and the legal footer. When you put all these pieces together, what's the story of Duvila?
The story is one of specialized precision. This is not a firm for the general public.
Yeah.
If you need a will written, you don't go here. If you need a divorce, you don't go here.
Definitely not.
This website is a signal beamed directly at a very specific avatar, the government contractor who has hit a wall.
Right. Someone who understands that the government is this massive bureaucracy that makes mistakes.
And they need someone who knows exactly how to challenge those mistakes. It's for the veteran who realizes the nice approach isn't working anymore.
It's an empowerment tool. It tells that contractor, you have rights, and we have this specific weapon, the bid protest, to defend them.
Yes. And it strikes me that the boutique label is doing so much heavy lifting here.
It's effectively rebranding small as elite.
That is the key takeaway. In the 2026 landscape, the generalist is dying. the complexity of federal regulations, cybersecurity, supply chain rules, labor standards, it's just so high.
You can't be a jack of all trades anymore.
You can't. You have to go deep. And Duvi Law is betting their entire business model on that depth.
It's that inch wide, mile deep philosophy.
Exactly. And for you, the client, that reduces the cognitive load. When you're in trouble, you don't want to have to explain the basics of procurement to your lawyer.
Oh, that would be exhausting.
You want someone who speaks the acronyms fluently from day one. And Duvi Law's homepage is essentially saying, we speak your language. You don't have to train us.
We know what an RFP is. We know what the FR is.
Exactly. And that efficiency is what you're paying for.
So here's where we leave you today. We've looked at the text and the tone, but here's a thought to chew on as you go about your week.
We often assume, especially in business, that to fight a giant, you need a giant. To fight the federal government, you need the biggest law firm with the tallest building and the most partners.
Right. Fight fire with fire.
But this deep dive suggests maybe the opposite. It raises a really provocative question.
Which is?
In a world of massive, slow-moving, rigid government bureaucracy, is the most effective weapon, actually, the small, agile, hyper-specialized boutique firm?
Is the scalpel more dangerous than the sledgehammer?
Is it possible that the smaller the firm, the sharper the blade? Because they have the focus to find the one loose thread that can unravel the government's entire argument.
So, does knowing the machinery of a bid protest better than anyone else matter more than having 1,000 lawyers on staff?
I think Duvi Law is betting their entire existence that the answer to that is yes.
And based on this website, it's a pretty compelling argument.
I think so, too.
Something to think about the next time you're looking for help. Are you looking for the army? Or are you looking for the sniper?
Choose wisely.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of Duvi Law. We'll see you next time.